This is Maurice Jones-Drew, and you're listening to the What's Brewing Show.
You're listening to the What's Brewing Show, part of the What's Brewing Show Network, with your hosts, Jake Merrifield, Bill Shirley, Jamal Artis, and Mike Regalado, bringing you anything and everything UCLA sports. And now, time for the What's Brewing Show.
Well, hello and welcome back to What's Brewing, part two of our epic breakdown of the USC beatdown by the Bruins at the Coliseum. We talked about that in part one of the What's Brewing Show. Now in part two, we're going to talk about the upcoming game against the Cal Golden Bears, and we're talking about UCLA basketball versus Gonzaga, number one versus number two. A lot of big things to talk about. Me and Jamal are coming to you after we recorded the podcast. Thank you very much. And it was so long, we had to break it up into two parts again. So, Jamal, how are you doing?
Doing dandy. Ready to go.
Very good. It's getting late in the evening. We still have to do a West Coast Bias podcast.
West Coast Bias.
And, you know, it's like, you know, 10 o'clock. We have an hour to go.
We've done it before.
That's right. And we're wearing sunglasses, as I like to say. Of course, you can follow What's Brewing Show on Twitter, at What's Brewing Show. You can follow Jamal on Twitter, at Champs over 1015. Mike at Mike Regalado, LA. Is there an LA in there?
What?
Yeah, there's Mike. And yeah, support us on Patreon, patreon.com/whatsbrewingshow or whatsbrewingshow.com. The B team, right? They're on this feed as well. Support those guys. And of course, support West Coast Bias.
You're just all about the West Coast Bias. You don't like the East Coast.
But with all that being said, thank you for your wonderful support on the What's Brewing Symposium. And let's get on with it. Here's the game that will be, I think, is where we're at. So here we go. Now, let's get into the game that will be.
Oh, dear God. Here's Jamal.
Let's do it, Jamal.
Just gloating.
It's the game that will be. It's the game that will be, yo. It's the game that will be.
UCLA will take on the California Golden Bears. At the Rose Bowl.
Sorry, I had to do that.
That's okay. The Bruins are 7-point favorites against the Bears at the Rose Bowl, but the Bears are coming off a thrilling victory. Was that at the farm?
That was at the farm.
At the farm.
41. When's the last time you beat them?
At the farm? Actually, there's the second game in a row that they play at the farm that they beat them.
Nice.
Because they beat them in 2019 at the farm,
nice.
Too.
Prior to that, do you remember?
Prior to that, they hadn't beaten them at the farm since the Aaron Rodgers era.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
But, yeah, this game coming up. Will the Bruins have an epic meltdown like they tend to do after the SC game? I don't know. I remember, I mean, the last time Cal played at the Rose Bowl, Jamal, I think you were in attendance.
I was there. Thank you for the tickets.
Bruins lost after, I think that was after Josh Kelly's game, if I remember. I don't know.
Yes, it was.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So let's not have a repeat of that. You know, I want to say I can't remember how many times the Bruins have played a decent game against SC or won against SC and then lost to Stanford afterwards. I mean, it really sucks. I hate this bonus game after the SC game, but here it is. The Bruins, two main rivals, I think you can say, the crosstown rival.
In football, yeah.
The crosstown rival and the UC rival, right?
Right.
The big brother rival.
Back to back. And now, we got to get it done. Now, ESPN win predictor has it as a 75% victory for the Bruins, but it has me worried because they were a 50-50 shot against the Trojans. We saw how accurate that was. First question I have for you guys on this before we get into Jamal's deep thoughts about Cal. Bill, Mike, Jamal, is this a game in which Chip Kelly is still coaching for his job? Because I kind of feel he is.
I don't know. This is something where I was looking at it going, this year he has a winning record, got, seven wins now. It's going to a bowl. It's not even just a toilet bowl. It could be a decent bowl, depending on how many more wins. He put up record numbers against SC, guys. That has to count for something. Record numbers against that.
Even with a defense that wasn't spectacular.
Yeah. Yeah, we're not going to talk about that. But yes, I mean, so do I think he's in trouble still? The answer is no, and I want to just take a little step further.
So you think it's done? Kelly is returning to Westwood.
I do.
Even if they lose the bowl game.
I'm not going to be as definitive as our good pal Hannah. He was very definitive, and then he had to backtrack on that. I'm just saying, I think the probability is that he stays. Why? Well, you know, you and I, all of us here were talking about it before.
More reasons than came up than it was a month ago.
Yeah, so there's a lot more reasons. And that's funny. Multiple. And it keeps on that. Those reasons keep piling up every effing day.
Oh, my God.
Why? One of the big reasons we were talking about.
Gone. Oh, yeah. Crazy.
The coaching carousel is getting bigger and bigger. It looks like Disneyland's carousel now, not the Castle Park carousel. Right? This is getting huge in terms of all the openings that are happening across the United States. So tack that on with the USC win, tack that on with the buyout. You're looking at something where it might be more advantageous to sort of wait this one out rather than go for it.
There's a better chance of Chip Kelly going to coach the NFL after this season than to get fired.
Interesting.
That's what I think. I think that...
And Jamal, you're the only one of this four-person panel that actually thinks that Kelly should be fired.
I think he should be gone.
You don't think he will be.
But that's I don't think he will be.
Okay.
The tides have turned. But just like Bill has said, there's some things that are outside of the UCLA purview that are going to affect it. And I think there'd be a better chance of, like, say, an NFL team came and asked him to coach. He would take that over. That would happen more likely than him getting fired. It's just not going
to
happen.
I would add to that really quickly. Like, even a lateral college move I don't think, LSU is going to be knocking on his door, but, there were rumors that Washington, that is a possibility. I don't think anymore, but the thing with me is that everyone was sure he was going to get fired after Utah.
Yeah.
And then he comes back even after that, I said, I'm not sure yet because, well, for one, the season's not over. And if he obliterates the last three teams, and so far he's 2 of 3.
Yeah.
That could show that, oh, wow, well, he's actually doing something.
Yeah.
The thing is that, and I got a lot of flack on this, I don't know why, because I was saying, a lot of people are complaining that he has only beaten teams with losing records. Well, that's what you're supposed to do. Yeah. It is definitely true, and that's what you're supposed to do. The Pac-12 is down. He's only, and he's beaten, I'm like, he's still beating the teams he's supposed to. Well, he blew out a horrible USC team. Yes, he was supposed to. Good teams are supposed to do that. As I said previously, if UCLA beat USC by like 2 points or 3 points or even 5 points, that would have not looked good.
Yeah.
Compared to this USC team. But he did what he was supposed to do. He blew them the F out of the water.
Yeah, and this is kind of something where, Mike, you are certainly have come to the conclusion that Chip Kelly should stay around. And I think me and Bill agree with you on that. Jamal thinks that he should be fired, but now he kind of thinks he won't be. On the other side of that, our friends at the B team, they have kind of firmly plant their flags in the, regardless of this, Kelly should be fired. And if you read the LA Times, the very first articles they printed afterwards were not, saying anything to credit UCLA for beating SC. It was, oh yeah, he should still be fired. That's the Plaschke.
Well, that was the Plaschke one.
And the Bulch, dual pistols, coming at him. And look, I'm kind of firmly of the opinion, and I tweeted a 1,000-word tweet, in four parts over the weekend, in that, look, if you don't think Kelly deserves to be there, you certainly can make that case. There's a fair case for that, right? Regardless of the things that have cut his way, there are plenty of things that haven't. You can say that he has a positive trajectory, but you can also say that positive trajectory is not nearly enough, right? And he has a piss poor winning percentage at the Rose Bowl. He has a piss poor winning percentage overall. He has not won the close games. There's a lot of things that have not gone right for this administration, but it's not a no-brainer either way, in my opinion. And also, our opinions really at the end of the day don't matter. Really boils down to, what does Jarmond want to do? I think something that all Bruin fans can agree with is that we're all pretty fired up about our athletic director. And I think that regardless of what he wants to do, whether he wants to fire Chip Kelly or whether he wants to fire Chip Kelly but isn't this year because it's not the opportune time, or whether he wants to keep Chip Kelly because he thinks that there's something cooking there, all of those things are possible, but it's going to come down to what he decides. And I think something that we can all just kind of breathe a sigh of relief about is that for the most part, I think it's taken for granted that we think that the athletic program is in good hands right now. And so whenever Jarmond, who supposedly is going to have the best picture of all this, is going to decide, I'm kind of okay with this point, you know? And whatever that is, I'm kind of cool with it. I kind of just want to see what happens. Bill, you had something you want to say about that?
No, I agree with that. I still think that, you know, we're in the honeymoon phase with Jarmond.
Certainly.
I think the moment he makes this big decision.
By the way, happy birthday.
Oh, happy birthday.
Today.
Happy birthday.
MJ, look at that. But, you know, once he makes his decision, then you're going to have people start looking, going and critiquing, et cetera, like normal. But in terms of the Chip Kelly, should he stay, should he go? Another reason we were talking about before the show was, you know, some of the talk out there was like, well, you know, he might go because there's going to be a lot of people leaving. There's going to be a lot of his guys, seniors and all this stuff leaving the team. And I brought up the point of guys, you know, there's a lot of people leaving in terms of coaches, right? There's going to be a huge amount of turnover, and all these coaches bring in new coaches. Some of these players that are high recruited players, good players, might not jive with the coach coming in. Therefore, what? More influx into the transfer portal. You're going to see a lot of people in the transfer portal.
So what you're saying is that, you know, a lot of people are worried about the program losing a lot of dudes this year.
But I don't think it's that big. I'm not saying it's not an issue. I'm saying
if you could point to one strength of the Kelly era, it's been his utilization of the transfer portal.
Yeah.
So who the hell knows what's going to be out there?
And guys, I'm not just talking national. Yeah, I know he got some guys from back east. But here's the thing: just within the Pac-12, there's a lot of change. Pac-12 alone,
mm-hmm. There is some opportunity there.
There's some opportunity of guys probably that their recruiters have probably talked to before, didn't really, you know, they jived, but it's just like they want to go to a different school, and now they're looking like, I want to come home. I want to. Do you get what I'm saying, guys?
Yeah, I do.
Like,
yeah.
There's a lot of possibility here where Chip can what was it? The old thing of, oh god, he used to make me sick on the Pete Carroll era. We rebuild. We don't rebuild. Yeah. Here, and he could actually be with the amount of players out there for possibility.
Yeah.
He could reload. Just saying,
especially in plug and play situations where you get guys that just, you know what to do. And he has been successful with the transfer portal. I would say he's probably been more successful than the actual recruiting itself. And
he might be in the best position, just because if you're talking about a lot of transition with the other schools. You know, maybe only two schools keeping
coaches.
I guess three. Mm-hmm. Three if you're counting UCLA. Then he might be in the best position to succeed, just because he'll have his program in place, his culture in place, and like Bill says, he'll be able to get guys in from the transfer portal and still use whoever's there right now that isn't going to leave.
And not only does he have a good record of bringing guys into the transfer portal where guys should be clamoring to come to UCLA, because you have stories like Josh Kelly, Britton Brown, Jack Charbonnet, yeah, right? But also,
Ebo,
he's also
Montrez, you know, yada, yada, all, yada, so and so
on and on, right? But also, he's in a position right now where, because if UCLA finds a way to extend him in a way that's not crippling for the future, like if they do want to, you know, end up getting rid of him in a year or two if he doesn't come through in the next year or two, if they find a way to extend him to give him some credibility, you know, for this recruiting cycle, he's in a good position versus the rest of the Pac-12 and the powers that be, because we're one of the few programs that isn't firing our coach, right?
Yes.
And so there's something there to be gained as well. I think even if you think Kelly should be fired, if he doesn't get fired, there's a lot of potential positives there, you know, and hopefully you're not at the point to which there is no way in any way, shape, or form that Kelly can, let's say he turns around next year, you know, he keeps going next year on the same positive trajectory, ends up with 9 or 10 wins or whatever, right? Because I think that's what we would be looking for.
Yeah.
You know, whether that's feasible or not, you know, they're going to be 3-0 in the non-con no matter what, because they have such a crappy non-con. But if he takes another step forward, I mean, you got to start giving him credit for it, because at that point he will have theoretically built, you know, a winner. But with all the vacancies that are going to happen this year, you know, at this point, I think that if they do end up getting rid of Kelly for whatever reason, you are really taking a bigger gamble than usual with all of the turnover
you
across
are.
College football.
And let's just, once again, I was saying it, you know, it, Mike's bosses or coworkers at
Bruin Point Online.
Thank you.
Hi, bro.
That one.
Yeah, that one. at bro, even David Woods, has sort of backed off of his, oh, it's, you know, like it, he says there's probably more of a possibility, just intimating there's probably more of a possibility of him staying and giving the reasons why he could stay because of just the vast amount of coaching vacancies out there this year. It might not be the best time to do.
Yeah. And you just got, and this, the other positive of, you know, if you keep him and you go into next season, so many coaches' vacancies have opened this year. Like, I know that it's really hard. Like, I mean, you know, you look at who just got fired after the second year that I'm thinking of?
Mullins?
Yeah, Dan Mullen. Something like that. I mean, that's pretty unusual.
Yeah.
Second year, was he was fired hired the same year as Kelly, wasn't he?
No, there was somebody who got hired that got fired after the second year. Anyways, my point being
No, I know what you're saying. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Next year, there's not there can't be as many coaching vacancies as this year because everybody's getting fired this year.
Yeah.
So then, theoretically, if Kelly did underperform next year and you did get rid of him for whatever reason, hopefully there would be a better chance of landing one of the, you know, more desirable candidates. You know? Yeah. So I think, to me, you know, now on the flip side of that, the argument against it is, you dumb mother effer, if you don't think he's going to get the job done, why give another year to continue, you know, bringing the program down?
Then I say, why give the keys to a much nicer car now? It wasn't it was a jalopy 4 years ago, but it's a nice Lexus now, right? Why give the keys to a Lexus to an effing just, you know, 12, 13 year old, right, who can't drive? Meaning the odds of you getting a good option have seriously diminished just because a lot of, we're not going to go into it. Okay, so that means what? You're now looking at maybe a mid-experience, low-experience coordinator and or even a high school coach now?
Theoretically, in a normal year, you'd be picking amongst the top 10 candidates.
Yes, you're nowhere near.
You're probably picking in the top 20, 25.
Okay, that's fair. So what are you doing? Then, so you're just risking that? That's what you're going to... So everyone's like, oh, why stay there? Oh, why gamble it away then? Why? I mean...
True. You know, I totally get that too, and there's some validity to it, especially because, you know, you can also sell... Okay, really backtracking. UCLA is going to lose a lot of players this offseason. If Kelly goes 6-6 next season, the fangs are going to be out. Everybody's going to want him done by, you know.
Well, after he lost four games this season, the fangs were out.
Exactly. So if he goes 6-6 with that team, it's a little bit easier to sell to the fan base if they fire him now. Or he leaves, or whatever incantation of him just not being with UCLA next season. You bring in a new coach, whoever the new coach is going to be. If they go 6-6, that's a little bit easier to sell in a team's first, in a coach's first season, rather than an experienced coach who went to the national championship his fifth season. With this team.
Not only that, you get a new coach in and you're giving him a nice 3-0 runway with the non-con you have. So, I mean, like, there is the argument of if you get a new coach in right now for next year, you're giving him every chance to succeed because you've given him a gift of a schedule, too. So, there, like I said, this is not an easy argument, really, because there's plenty of reasons to fire Chip Kelly. But all we're saying here on the What's Brewing Show, other than Jamal, is that there's some reasons to not fire him, too. And... at the end of the day, it ain't our decision. Germond, we have faith in you. Please do the right thing. I wish I had a Spike Lee drop there. But with that being said, there is a game that's going to happen. I may or may not be. Actually, I am going to be attending because this game's going to be late in the evening, 7:30 p.m. on Fox Sports 1.
You realize when you go to the games, they lose? Just want to throw that out there.
Yeah,
you.
F you, Bill. Want to go with me?
No, I'm good.
Yeah. You son of a bitch. Anywho, I'm going to probably be coming back from Palmdale from a softball tournament, and then I'm probably going to have to go to Palmdale at like 6 in the morning, so I'm not super thrilled by the way this is playing out. The one night when I wish it was...
I'll be in Vegas.
...a day game. But thanks, Mike. Thanks for that. But
I'll be in Vegas 2 days after Thanksgiving. It's going to be dead.
It sounds like a fun time to me. I love Vegas. Anyways, Jamal... we're playing the Golden Bears of California.
The who?
Yeah. And
go Bruins. Defeat the Golden Bears. Defeat them as hard as you can.
Beat them with impunity.
Go Bruins. Beat the Golden Bears. Okay, beat them as hard as you can. Beat them with impunity.
Okay, it took us a long time to get that goddamn drop out. So let's play a couple times.
Go Bruins. Beat the Golden Bears. Beat them as hard as you can. Beat them with impunity.
First of all, F you, Jamal.
I hate that drop.
Second of all, when I look at this Cal team, right?
It's rivalry week. Sorry. It's the claws are coming out.
Jamal, question for you.
Yes, sir.
Cal comes into this game with a record of what?
4-6.
And that 4-6 is including a big victory at the farm, as we talked about before.
Yep.
And for these guys, you know, I was kind of looking at it, and I'm like, I imagining what Cal football has been this year, I thought it was just all doldrums and upsetness, just because it's based on all the text that Jamal sends us about Cal football, right? You would think that they haven't won it all. But it turns out that's not the case.
Middle of the pack.
And then when you look at the stats for this game, I mean, you know, Cal is, you know, relatively decent.
Yeah,
you know?
Middle of the pack, average loss by like less than 5 points.
Would you say their record does not is not definitive of who they are as a team?
No, it's just not.
No. But ooh, which way? They're better than their record or they're worse than their record?
They have more talent than their record.
Okay.
But unfortunately, because of scheme and circumstance, they are a losing team.
Okay, well, they are set up to maybe not be quite a losing team, maybe to hit 500.
Cal's
right?
going
to
come
right.
in and kick us in the nuts, aren't they?
But in order to do that, the Cal Golden Bears have to run the table to end the season, right? They got a game against UCLA, and they have a game against SC,
right?
When we talk about the Golden Bears, and I talked about their statistics being kind of relatively, you know,
middle of the pack.
Middle of the pack. We're talking about an offense that has a respectable 6.2 yards per play. It's pretty good. I think it's like middle of the pack, like Jamal said. A respectable run game. 5.3 yards per carry.
Yep.
13 TDs.
Yep.
That's all, you know, like in the upper third.
Yep.
They have a slightly less than respectable passing offense, 7.1 yards per attempt, 16 TDs.
But second, you know, one of the better quarterbacks in the conference.
Like I said, middle of the pack.
Yes.
They have one of the top run defenses in the conference.
Yes.
This might bode not very well for the Bruins. Giving up only 3.64 yards per rush. 121 yards per game. That's tough.
Wait, who have they played that's rushing?
They held Oregon State, I want to say.
Okay, that's good.
Under their average, only 134 to Oregon State.
Okay.
However, they gave up 200 to Oregon and TCU, over 200 to Oregon, TCU, and Zona.
And they lost those games?
Yes.
Well, they didn't lose the Zona game. Did you lose the
Zona? Yeah, they lost. Did. You lost that was the COVID game.
That's right. Well, I mean, you have to explain that one way. It's a COVID game. So, I mean, their run defense is pretty good,
but
they have had moments of weakness.
Yes.
And then the respectable versus the pass, 6.8 yards per attempt, 232 yards per game, 13 interceptions. They actually are like top two in the conference in interceptions, I want to say.
Yes.
So, Jamal?
It's the red zone.
Tell me about the red zone.
They're dead last in the red zone percentage, or second to last. I think the worst team.
So they can't finish drives.
Right. They can't finish drive, and I think they're second to last in points, overall points.
Yeah, I think you're right about
that. Yes. In the Pac-12. So if you included their shitty performances I don't know if they do, but in the Pac-12, they are second to last in points. And that's the problem. They get to a certain point, and then they can't score, and that's pretty reflective on their win-loss record when their average loss is only five points.
It is funny because this is just like the team that they played last week in SC. Like, SC can move the ball quite a bit, but then they have a lot of trouble finishing off drives. So let's hope that they haven't figured that out. I think that's really the Bruins' biggest hope in this game, because they are certainly ripe for a letdown, as they always seem to do.
Well,
Jamal, how do you feel this game's going to play out?
And it's kind of funny. I think Cal is better on the road than they are at home. I forget what their win-loss record is at home, but I think...
I don't want to hear that.
I think they only have one win at home, and I believe it was the either Colorado or Oregon State. I forget which one it was.
Uh-huh.
So that can't be good if only one win. So the other three means they were all on the road. It's pretty much like the two teams are like the dueling Spider-Mans pointing at each other, right?
Yeah.
You know, both quarterbacks are probably their most talented player on offense. They both can run the ball well. I think Cal has better weapons in the receiving core. After I looked it up, Cal's like receivers are in the top five in the Pac-12. Defensive-wise, Cal doesn't give up a lot of points. UCLA obviously gives up a lot more points, but they've shown that they can bear down when necessary. So I still feel, just because Cal rarely wins at the Rose Bowl, the 2019 season being an exception. You know, I think they're not going bowling this year.
Well, let's hope the Bruins can make that a reality. I know you don't want that, Jamal, but we're all rooting for this.
Go, Bruins. Beat the Golden Bears. Beat them as hard as you can. Beat them with impunity.
I think Jamal's going to walk out of that game with middle fingers going, I told you all. I totally disagree with Jamal. I think the emotional letdown, hangover, I should say, emotional hangover of the SC game and what happened at the SC game, even though it was insignificant, whatever, it still was a big game for them. It's the record, the current record of Chip Kelly at the Rose Bowl, and you
Chip
not
Kelly?
Not eating your Chipwich at the games, Jake. You got to start doing that again.
I'll try.
Yeah, try. I think this is going to be bad. I really do think this is going to be bad for UCLA. I don't see them winning this game. I see Cal. All Cal has to do is do what SC for some reason stopped doing, which is I'm fine with it. Great, which is just throw it. All you do is throw it, and we get our asses kicked. That's all you do. And so, Garbage is not a bad quarterback, right, Jamal?
No, he's, like I said, he's among the top five.
Okay, and your receivers are pretty damn good then, right?
Yep, top two receivers okay. in the conference.
Your coach needs to get effing fired if he goes out there and just tries to run against UCLA. If he
well,
just
that's
throws...
Been part
he's
of
actually going to take the Washington job.
That's been part of the problem is whenever the obvious thing to do, they haven't done it. Whether it's run the ball when they really need to or pass it to the middle when they really need to, that's part of the problem. Like, you guys have, as an arrow... We have Bill Musgrave as the boogeyman for the evils. That's the offensive coordinator for Cal as the evils for, you know, what's going on with the program.
Mike, what do you think?
I don't like to look at trends, but trends, obviously, you know, there's something about certain teams playing in certain arenas, stadiums. UCLA does not have a good track record at Berkeley. Cal does not have a good track record at the Rose Bowl, and seeing how these two teams pair up right now, you know, Cal has actually had some really good games in the last few weeks, and you know, just putting a beating, they put more of a beating on Stanford than UCLA did, and that's, you know, that's something when you look at shared opponents. But when it comes down to it, you know, everything that happened beforehand doesn't matter. Cal wants to go out, you know, with a bang. UCLA wants to win for Chip Kelly. There's going to be a lot on the line, and you know, it's weird for a game like this. I don't see why it is not as big of a rivalry game as the Crosstown Showdown, because, you know, maybe it's more friendlier, the UC aspect, you know, the academic aspect, but you know, these two teams, for all intents and purposes, should hate the hell out of each other. But I think there's also mutual respect.
Well, they both have really snooty private schools to hate. So, you know,
there's a plus.
But like I said, if you know, if UCLA is winning by like maybe, you know, 10 points with 5 minutes to go, he's not going to, you know, do a Fournier, you know, touchdown for 40 yards or
well, not like Chip planned
not that he planned it, but exactly. He's going to, I think he'd rather try to run out the clock than try to show up his opponent.
I just want to win.
Exactly. But there, it's just weird how there are a lot of factors going into a game like this. There are a lot of factors going into a game like USC, but with another rivalry game, you know, there's still just a lot of stuff up in the air. But I do think that UCLA, I think their talent and their scheme offensively, not defensively, is going to help them out. And I don't think it's going to be, I think it's really going to be closer than a lot of people expect.
I hope they can put together a nice game. I hope that Charbonnet, you know, we haven't even talked about how Britton Brown missed that last game against SC, and Charbonnet really had to carry the load. But they had a lot of guys making plays. Do you have any news on
just really quickly, Britton Brown, we didn't see him practice at all last week.
Yeah.
He was out there working with trainers this week. So that's
not as bad as
it seems like there's a tier. You're either in the weight room.
Yeah.
The step above that is you're on the sideline with trainers. The step above that is you're full go in drills.
It would be super cool if Britton Brown could be there for this game and be, you know, MC Fresh Legs against the Bears.
Britton Brown, hold it for the bowl game. Hold it for the Jimmy Kimmel.
What can Brown do for you?
But with that being said, you know, I'm firmly in the camp of I really hope the Bruins win. I think they should win.
I'm not
and if they
camp.
Don't win, I think they should tarmac Kelly right on the field. However, if they do win, I think they should keep Chip Kelly. I think this is a game that he has to have. Gosh darn it. To carry any positive momentum forward. And to really have the kind of the plausible deniability on keeping him around.
And to sweep the California schools.
Why the F not? Just do it. Just win. Just don't not win. How about that? Let's do that. Right? How about let's do that, Kelly? Don't not win.
Just do it.
Just do it. You got this freaking jump man on their chest. Just do it. Just
don't,
win.
Don't do not.
And just, then I think whatever the bowl game ends up being.
Don't get got.
Yeah. Don't
go get
got. Yeah, go get
go him. Get.
Whatever the bowl game ends up being will be gravy, you know, and then, you know, hopefully they don't get boat race like the Baylor game with Jim Mora or whatever, but then we can look forward to that and have a little fun with that and then look forward to the following year, however it shakes out. But I don't necessarily think he will be fired if they lose a game, but I definitely think he should be fired if they lose a game. And this is the guy that's been behind Kelly, you know, for the last 2 years, but that's where I'm at. Now,
I would agree. If you lose to Cal, you should be fired.
Damn right, Jamal.
Actually, I think all the teams we've beaten this year.
Beat the Golden Bears. Beat them as you can. Beat them with impunity.
F Cal.
I love you, Emily.
I think all the Cal. I think they've gotten some people fired this year. I don't know. I think the games that they've won are going to lead to some firings.
Very nice predictions, Bill.
Cal upsets UCLA at the Rose Bill. Bowl. Prove me wrong.
It's all right, wrong. Bill. I hate you. Because you might be speaking the truth.
Yeah. I don't know if he gets fired, though, Jake. I don't know if he gets fired. But Cal upsets, and it's going to be 32-25 Cal.
I disagree with Bill here. I think UCLA wins 31-21.
I like that.
Yeah.
31-21.
I think that.
Mikey?
I don't trust
Cal. I'm typing. Hang on. 31-21 for Jamal. Yes. Jake, you go. What do you want?
The Bruins win. The Bruins win by a score of 33-20.
Yep.
33-20 for Jake.
And I don't hate UCLA fans. Obviously, I'm on a UCLA podcast, and I have been for quite a while here.
Thanks, Jamal. We love you.
And but I will say this to all those jackasses on Twitter who are like, oh, UCLA is a number one public school. Suck a dick.
Jeez, I mean, Jamal.
It is.
It's not. It's the crappy U.S. News World Report where they ask the dumbass presidents to vote for their.
Did you hear that? Did you hear the
as the
Malcolm Gladwell?
Yes,
did you hear how these rankings are done
For the U.S. News? Yeah,
it is insane.
It's dumb. So you know, suck a dick. And some dumbass want to call me Junior. Listen, if you come at me at Twitter, you can talk all the shit you want, but I ain't no Junior. I'm a man. I'm 40. don't ever think you can talk to me like that on Twitter that you won't say something to my face, because trust me, you won't say it to my
there's
face.
There's a lot of that going on.
There's a lot of that.
Mike, do you have a prediction yet? Jamal's
I have
like
a prediction
shit,
I have
like
a prediction. UCLA 45, Cal 32.
Okay, fine.
That's thank a lot you. Of points, Mike.
Have you seen their defense?
Okay. I mean, I just told you there's like Cal's terrible in the red zone. Cal's terrible when it comes to
fair enough. It's
points.
It's,
again, lucky. Have you seen UCLA's defense?
We're lucky we don't have any sponsors because Jamal would have just lost.
U.S. News World Report is not going to be one of our sponsors.
So thank you for that.
Ooh, did you hear what they said?
Let's all hope for a Bruin victory, except for Jamal. It's okay that he doesn't hope for that. But
and Bill, too. Bill's a dick.
We knew. This we know. All right.
Love you, Bill.
I'm going to be real happy when one of these dang seasons ends. I'm going to be sad that there's no football, but I will be happy because there's not football and basketball at the same time. But with that being said, this yet another super bonus-sized edition of the What's Bruin Show is coming to you your way because, you know, UCLA's playing Cal. We talked about that, and now we got to talk about UCLA playing in a pretty darn big game, I would say, against the Gonzaga Zags of Gonzaga. Up there in Washington.
Number one versus two hasn't happened
Spokane
in like
Zags.
Forever.
Yeah, that's crazy, right? So, first of all, let's talk real briefly about the games that were with UCLA men's basketball.
That word.
Since the last time we talked, UCLA beat North Florida 98-63. And then tonight, they beat Bellarmine by some score.
75-62.
That happened.
Yes.
After the game, McCronin said, this team sucks.
He's going to make everybody run drills.
He's going to make everybody run drills, right? There's not really too much more to say about it other than they won.
Right.
Right? If you watch it, you watch it on ESPN+. You know, even more so than, you know, this is a question for you guys. Is being on ESPN Plus better or worse than being on the Pac-12 Network?
It's so much better.
It's so much better.
It's
undeniably better, right?
Yes, by a mile.
And by the way, country mile. You can only stream ESPN Plus.
That's fine.
That's fine.
But at least you can stream ESPN
Plus. Yeah.
You don't have to spend $40 a month for some stupid Sling subscription.
No.
Just so you get the goddamn Pac-12 Network. Yeah. No, for $7 a month, pick up ESPN Plus.
Yes.
And now you can watch the Bruins.
Yes.
Yeah. Thanks an effing lot, Pac-12. I sure hope Commissioner Kalashnikov will get this sorted out by the time he's well into his reign.
Kalashnikov?
Because this is absolute garbage.
Yeah, GK47, get on that.
Yeah, that's right. But with that being said, UCLA beat Bellarmine, whatever bells they are.
Hey, Jake, that was a trivia question last night on the game. The Billis, I think, asked, does anybody know where Bellarmine is? And I said, Louisville! Because I
Good
learned
job.
That last week.
Terrific. 75-62. They started slow. They got better. And then they ended slow. And like I said, Crono was pissed. Big deal. We knew he was going to be pissed. Of course, he's going to be pissed going into the Gonzaga game. That angry little Irishman is going to be mad because he wants his Bruins to go out there and play well against Gonzaga, get revenge over their loss in the NCAA tournament last year. There's a lot of stuff going on. It's going to be number one. Mikey, where's my drop for Timmy time? Do you have that ready?
God,
is it there?
Damn
Gosh
it.
Darn it.
Was not ready.
It's going to be Timmy time. If Mikey could ever pull that damn thing up, we could play Timmy time before we can move on with our breakdown of this thing. But I'm still waiting for him.
Well, I'll just say that Bill's magic man, Miles Johnson, 15 rebounds in the North Florida game, and then 11 rebounds tonight against Bellarmine.
That's not my magic man.
Yes, it is.
He is actually my magic man, so I'll claim that. The guy that Bill hates. That's a lot of Timmy's.
Okay, I'll end it right there. That's like over a minute of
Miles Johnson. Miles Johnson, take note. Take note. You got to deal with that dude. And if you can prove yourself against that guy,
the dude in the wheelchair,
then we're well on
our
way.
Yeah, right.
No. In the motorized wheelchair.
Side note. You know the I hate, you know, it's, you know.
Yes.
More appropriate. More South Park. More appropriate. Yeah. You know how things are better? God, I can't say what I'm
Mike's
saying.
Mike's flummoxed.
Okay, cripple fight.
Yes, I just said that.
Not as apropos now as it is when it happened. But
it's literally taken from They Live.
That's what I was going to say.
Yes.
It is frame for frame.
And it's awesome.
Rowdy Roddy Piper versus
Captain Sisko from Deep Space Nine.
Yes. Just beating the heck out of each other.
Sorry. Keith David.
Keith David. There you go. Thank you. Just beating the crap out of each other in because Rowdy Piper had discovered that aliens have invaded the planet. Yeah. He found these sunglasses that show that, and Keith David's like, I don't believe you. Yes. And it's just like this.
It's frame 10 frame.
It's a 10-minute fight. Exactly. Get to the chopper. That's what the whole scene was. And then you have this fight on South Park. Oh, my God. I just love South Park.
Are you fuckers done?
It's so
one of the best episodes
love
of all
South
time.
Park.
I just wanted to drop about Timmy, and then it turns into this. You freaking.
This is what you ask. It's what you get for your $2.
Thank you. With that being said, right, UCLA is taking on Gonzaga, number one versus number two, Gonzaga being one, UCLA being two. And this is going to be in Vegas, right? And I have just a little bit of trivia for you regarding this game, so let's play that.
Now it's time for Jake's Trivia, brought to you by Jake, bringing you all the coolest trivia of UCLA football's opponent for this coming week. And now, Jake.
Spokane.
Guys. Oh, good job, Jamal. Yeah, that's
John Stockton. That's all I know.
Good job. Some of this trivia comes thanks to CBS sports guy Matt Norlander. Very good guy with a very good podcast. Good writer, too. But guys, how many times has number one faced number two in men's basketball? In the history of men's basketball, I want to say in the history of the poll that's currently the most popular.
56? Something like that. So 1956. Oh, Jesus.
Three times?
No. More than that. Yes.
Okay. 15.
More than that.
Oh, really?
Wow. Jamal, you're the last one.
45.
Oh, Jamal's very close.
Oh, wow.
But he went over 43.
Oh,
Bill, 43 times. How many times has UCLA include? Let's include the matchup now that both teams have. Gonzaga won today, right?
Yeah.
They didn't get knocked off the perch by whatever scrub
I think they're still playing, but they're up by like 20.
But whatever, even if they lose, they're not going to get knocked off the perch because of the voting.
They'll be number one by the time the game ends. Yes. Whatever. How many times has UCLA been involved in a number one versus number two matchup?
25 times?
Lower. 17 times?
Much lower.
Eight. Ooh.
Higher.
10?
10 times. Wow. Nice. That includes the game tomorrow.
Wow.
That breaks a tie. With which school?
North Duke. Carolina.
Wrong.
Yeah, I was going to say Duke.
Wrong.
Kentucky.
There you go, Bill.
I was
ding,
say
ding, 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 ding.
There's only a couple Bill. Schools, guys.
There are four schools to choose from.
Like, oh, that's it.
Up until tomorrow night, it will have been 9 times for Kentucky and UCLA.
9 times.
9 times. I have that drop somewhere, but this breaks the tie. What is the average score of the 42 other games, one versus two, combined? So what's the average score of those other 42 games? This blew my mind, Ricky Bobby. Blew my mind.
The average score?
What's the average score?
Combined score?
The combined score?
Like, yeah. What is it? What's the average score of the two teams playing each other?
Combined score, I'd say I would say in the 80s.
No. Not combined score. Like, what's the score of the game? Like, you know, 82 to 70, 77.
Oh, I would say something like maybe 65, 63.
No, I go low.
65, 63.
I'd say, like, okay, let's say 48, 52.
48, 52.
Yeah, I would say something like 42, 45.
42, 45. Yeah. Guess what? Not only is it higher than all those scores, but it's a tie score. Because these games traditionally,
are so close.
Cumulatively, have been that close. Wow. The average score of these games has been 75 to 75.
Ooh.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy? Now, there have been a lot of blowouts in this series, but, I mean, you know, that's pretty darn cool, I thought. Now, last question for you. What's the last time UCLA was in a number one versus number two matchup?
Ugh, a while ago.
1968? That's the biggest
one. I would say... During the Herrick era.
I'd say Howland.
I'm blanking on
you're both wrong and you suck. You're terrible people.
1980.
Well, no. I mean, that's besides the point.
1979.
1976.
Wow. Okay. All right.
Well, it actually happened in the 75 calendar year, but it was the 1975-76
Indiana
season.
Versus UCLA.
Yeah.
Boom, Jamal. Yeah.
Nice.
He got it.
Damn, yo.
Yeah, Indiana was undefeated that year.
And I asked the Godfather if he had any particular recollections of those games, and he said, yeah, that was the year, of course, after Wooden retired.
Yeah.
Gene Bartow was overmatched by one
Bobby Knight.
Legend, Hall of Fame coach, Bobby Knight. And Bobby Knight and the Indiana Hoosiers beat down the Bruins 84-64 on November 29th, 1975. That was the last time it was number one versus number two for the Bruins. And then later in the season, the not number two or number one Bruins
lost to Indiana
again.
In the final
like
four.
I said, that was to Gene Bartow.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. So there you go. Of course, what do you guys remember most about last year's game against Gonzaga?
The
stupid circus
Suggs,
shot that
stupid Jalen Suggs, you bastard. Yeah. So with that being said, what are you looking for in this game? And then just give me your prediction.
I'm going to say it's not going to be an overtime.
Endless merciful.
It's not going to be an overtime game, and it's not going to be that close.
Oh, wow. So you think Gonzaga's going to blow them out?
I think Gonzaga wins by 10.
Oof. Jamal.
I think UCLA is going to actually pull this one out.
Bill, optimism.
I do. I don't think they being Gonzaga, have the same weapons as they did last year. I mean, Jalen Suggs.
No, Jalen Suggs.
Jalen Suggs is a baller. He's a baller, man. Yeah. Okay, so
he's just a baller, man.
All right, so having that kind of guy not there, I understand Timmy, but I think we can neutralize that, and I think we're going to be all hands on deck. I think we're going to be focused. And I think we're going to pull this one out. Will it be I don't think it'll be by 10, like Jamal said, in terms of that. So I think we'll win by 3 or 4.
And to Bill's credit, this game is as close as you'd want it on the ESPN win predictor. 51% Gonzaga, 49% Bruins. The I don't see a spread on here yet.
Has it ever been 50-50?
I'm sure it has been. But is there a spread on this game? Mike, what do you think about the game while I look at the spread?
I think I'm going. I'm going to go similar to Bill in the fact that you have a game like this of Bellarmine, and I said this on my post game Twitter, which I've been doing, and a lot of people have been liking. So thank you very much for that. UCLA needed to, and Jamal brought this up. You know, neutral games are weird because they take you out of your element. UCLA's first four wins were at Pauley Pavilion, where they know how to shoot, they know the corners, they know the lanes, all that stuff. Bellarmine is a team that they haven't faced before. It's actually very new to Division I basketball, which also, kind of gives you a head scratch of why they maybe didn't blow out Bellarmine more than they did.
Looking ahead, Mike, looking ahead.
Definitely looking ahead. But I think they needed this game. A little bit of a slap in the face to, like, hey, you just beat a team that just got to Division I, and you're a team that got to the Final Four. Mick Cronin is definitely going to, hand them their arses, in whatever practice they have before the game. But I think, just like Villanova, they're going to step up a little bit. I don't like the fact that they, against Bellarmine, kind of played down to their opponent, if you will. You know, Johnny Juzang and Jules Bernard have been, pretty good in the first few games, and they both were benched at the to start the second half. I don't think that's going to happen. I think, like Bill said, it's going to be all hands on deck. They're going to realize the severity of what is going on. And obviously, it's not a tournament game, but it's a very prestigious game. You know, like you said, there have only been, so many in the history of college basketball. And I think UCLA in front of a national crowd trying to get their revenge, they'll pull it out with a 5-point victory.
Oh, I like that, Mike. I hope it's true. I am a little worried about the fact that so far early in the season, if there's one thing that hasn't been super apparent, it's a terrific UCLA defense. I think they've had their moments, but they've certainly had their moments of not being fantastic. And certainly you think their antennas would be fully up for this game. I mean, if it's not up for this game, when's it going to be up? But I am worried because Gonzaga's coming in this shooting 55% from the field. And if the Bruins, the Bruins are holding opponents to 43, but certainly not any big level of competition, of course. And you could say the same about Gonzaga. I mean, they both played,
Gonzaga, the same night that UCLA beat Villanova, they beat up on Texas.
Yeah. So, I mean, they both had like one real opponent, but and they both fared well in those games. But the Bruins got to do something about lowering that field goal percentage. And if they do, then hopefully they can have the Bruins aren't lacking any in clutch guys. I'll say that. And so if they can get a close game, I think I like the Bruins' chances to pull it out. But it's getting that close game is the key, first and foremost.
Yeah, exactly.
So, sure, why not? I think the Bruins can win it.
Mm-hmm.
Win the game. F it. Why not? Bill, did you already predict?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, okay, so let's move on. Mike, do you have anything else to say about this or anything else?
Just really quickly, just prior to this, we don't have to get into a super deep conversation, but what have you thought about UCLA in their first few games, exclude Bellarmine? How do you think that they that they have done against the Long Beach States, Villanova? What are your impressions of what they've done? And mind you, prior to this Bellarmine game, they were second in the nation in scoring with I think it was like 95.8 points per game. What are your thoughts on UCLA starting off this season?
I'm with Coach Cronin, is that I think they just need to clean up the defense. I think they're capable.
Which was a problem all last year, too. He harped on that, all season long.
I think on the offensive side, they are impressive. I think they can be cohesive. I think that isn't necessarily all dependent on a Johnny Juzang. I've seen a lot of consistency from multiple guys, right? Or somebody stepping up. So it's really just on the defensive end that hopefully by the time the tournament comes around, that their familiarity with each other and their effort on defense is a lot better than it's been in these first few games.
I think that's fair too. You know, obviously, when you're playing opponents that you're vastly superior to, there's time to work stuff out and experiment with stuff, and there's time to kind of have lackadaisical attitudes. We saw them get after it versus Villanova, and that was a big, big test, and mm-hmm. they came through. So this is the next one. You know, win or lose against Gonzaga, we talked about this before, they already have the Villanova win in their back pocket. And so I think as long, you know, from the fan perspective, I think, you know, as long as the Bruins don't get blown out in this game, you know, outright, then I think, you know, we still have a lot to hang our hat on. If they do just get run off the floor by Gonzaga somehow, then, you know, then you start to worry about, you know, how are they going to fare when they get to the stiff opponents down the line. But, you know, I think Bruins going to this fan relatively at ease, saying, yeah, you know, I mean, you know, they've played pretty well so far in the non-con. They will have played two big matchups in their non-con or so. And, you know, I guess they have a UNC coming up down the line. But let's see how it goes.
Bill, what do you think about what they've done prior to Bellarmine?
I like their preseason games. I really do. I love the game against Villanova at home. I love their resilience. I see some of their flaws. You know, I didn't get, you know, hearing what happened tonight against Bellarmine. There's some issues there. Seeing what happened against Long Beach State, and that when Maxie Priest and the other guy were just effing throwing, just dropping bombs left and right on us. There are some issues there.
Go Niners.
Yeah, but you know, overall, I positive direction. Fix up the defense. I think we'll be fine. Even if we lose this game against Gonzaga, we're playing hard teams. What you said, Jake? You said within next couple of weeks we're playing UNC as well, correct?
Yeah, and okay. They actually have a couple conference tilts too.
Okay,
I mean, UNC is actually in about a month.
Okay, so so just think about that: Villanova, Gonzaga, and UNC within
and Marquette, who actually they beat a top 10 team I think over the weekend.
So say we go
one hell of a hard non-conference.
Yeah, so say we go 3-1 or even 2-2. First of all, I don't mind getting some losses in now. I really don't.
Oh yeah, especially since it smacks you in the face and
get the losses
wakes
in
you
now,
up a little bit,
and then playing those guys. That's what that does. That gets you ready. A lot of these other schools aren't playing this many hard teams. Mm-hmm. So I like it. No matter what happens, unless there's a total collapse, I think we'll be fine.
Terrific. All right. Well, with that being said, I think Bill's favorite part of the show.
Oh wait. I just wanted to ask a quick question, Jake and Jamal. I know.
Favorite part of the show.
I know. I'm sorry, but I just need to ask. Did LeBron shave his head finally? Did he
finally?
He did. Is he finally coming to grips with reality?
He is.
Okay, that's
and then he immediately punched the guy in the face.
I know.
That's what I did the first time I did it.
More to come on West Coast Bias.
Sorry, LeBron. I don't know what that's like.
Yeah.
I have no idea what that's like.
I'm sorry. I just had to ask it. All right, guys. What's brewing with you?
What's brewing with you?
You ask me.
What's brewing with me?
Yeah.
What's brewing with you? What's brewing with me? What's brewing with
you?
Billy B., what's brewing with you?
Guys, I told you what was brewing with me. I just had a great, great weekend with the boys, taking them to the game. I really do wish I could have taken them to see the campus. We didn't get there in time to walk the campus before we at SC to, you know, before the game. But I do want to show them. I was talking to Jamal about this. I want to take them to all the different campuses around this, you know, Southern California. We've been to UCLA a gajillion times. USC, Caltech, Loyola, Pepperdine. Was Oxy? We were talking about Oxy. Oxy being another one. It's just, I want to take them to all of them. Just let them see and let them experience all these different campuses, see what they like, what they don't like. It's just, it's fun to do. And, you know, I had a great time with the boys this weekend. So that's what's brewing with me. Jamal, what's brewing with you?
I just want to do a quick watch this movie instead of watch this show. I mentioned last week I went to the movies for the first time, saw Eternals. Well, before that, I saw Shang-Chi, which is another part of the Marvel.
I watched this weekend too.
Marvel Cinematic Universe, and I really liked it. I really liked it.
That was good.
Better than the Eternals?
I thought it was better than the Eternals. In a different way, because it's more of that sort of Marvel fun-loving, pithy kind of thing.
Yeah, that's fine.
But I love the chemistry between Simu Liu, who plays Shang-Chi, and Awkwafina, who plays his best friend and is included in the adventure.
I was not a big Awkwafina fan.
I thought she was good in this.
Yeah,
she's very funny in the movie, and she shows a lot of heart. It's not all comic relief, which she kind of always tends to play.
It was mostly
movies.
Comic relief, but
but there's a little heart in there, and she had her moments. I enjoyed it, and I'm all for these kind of I usually don't really care, but these movies where they go, not everybody has to be represented, I'm okay with this cool Asian Marvel movie. I feel like it really worked, and I liked it.
I thought it was good, and it's a departure from the most of the Marvel movies in that it's very magical.
Right, exactly. It's
a very magical movie.
Yes.
You know, I mean, even Doctor Strange, they kind of like tied it into the Universal, yada, yada, yada. This one they very loosely did, and it is kind of tangential
myth.
To Doctor Strange and the characters that appeared.
Then you would like Eternals, then, if you liked the magic.
No, what I'm saying, though, is that this was really just like, it was a mystical fairy tale.
Right.
You know, that, and it was fun.
Yes.
That was good.
And yeah, and I like... actually tied into that is like all the colors and the views and things like that you got that was part of that mysticism magic, and so yeah, I like it. I gave it like you know, if it's 5 stars, then I gave it a nice 3.5, 4.
Yeah, I agree with that. That was good.
So I enjoyed it. So go watch that if you have Disney Plus. It's a fun watch. Mike, what's brewing with you?
This weekend, obviously covering the games that was and will be and what were and what not. My oldest is getting into volleyball. She is on a team that I don't think they've freaking lost. And she actually got called up to the higher class last week. Didn't play much, but the coach says she liked her aggressiveness. So, Nails, you go, girl.
That's awesome.
So we went to the beach this weekend because I wanted her to get a little bit more training with a full net, as well as, and she even told me this too, which is awesome because she's already checking out the analytics of, you know, just posture training, you know, all that stuff. And you're not going to get into it too much, but having her go, you know, play on the sand rather than on a hard court, she noticed that it's a lot harder to move about on the sand. And I'm like, and yeah, exactly. And once you get back on the hard court, things are going to be a little bit easier. It's kind of like, you know, running with a parachute. It's like, you know, once you take off the parachute, it you know, you can get that speed, if you will, or at least feel it. So that was pretty fun too. And then later that night on Sunday, took them to a Kings game. They unfortunately freaking lost Kings, but
I want to go.
We'll cover that.
Let's do it. Yeah, we're ready to
We
had an off pod discussion about it, Bill.
Yeah,
and yeah, we're trying to work something out.
We're trying with to figure
the
kid.
I want to take the kids though. Is what I'm saying.
Yes, dude, Bill. We're trying to work out. Can I signal you any more that it's off pod? We're trying to have an off pod. Can we just get through the show?
It's don't you have a discussion?
I want to go.
Don't you need to wake up early?
Long story short,
Shut the F up, Bill.
You're so mean. You're just so grumpy that you have another, 2 hours with Jamal?
Yes.
2 hours with Jamal.
I have another podcast to do, Bill.
That's your problem, not mine.
That's you, Bill.
That's a you that's problem,
the,
not
that's
me.
That's the problem.
Anyway, you know, the two older ones had gone to a hockey game. Hugo hadn't gone to it. He liked it, but he was more interested in the French fries. While Violet was talking to me, Violet and Poppy were talking to me about the analytics of what's going on with the game. So it was a really fun weekend. And this weekend, I'm going to be on that Vegas UCLA basketball train as I will be covering UCLA at UNLV. So if you're going to be going there, you know, hit me up, let me know, say what's up. I'm going to be going to the Double Down Saloon, which is a really sweet punk rock bar right across from the Thomas and Mack Center off the Strip. That's where the cool people hang out.
That's awesome, Mike.
Jake, what's brewing with you? The government totally sucks, you motherfucker. The government totally sucks. Here we go.
Thank you, Mike. Just briefly. Just, you know, we live in L.A. City, which is inside L.A. County, you know, to varying degrees, a cesspool or a sewer because of our city government regulations that they choose to enforce or not enforce. But L.A. City gave me a nice little F.U. Jake Merrifield right to my dome the other day. And I want to tell you this little anecdote, and I want you guys to tell me how I can't take this personally, how I shouldn't take this personally. I'm driving to work the other day. Right? And how many off-ramps do you think there are between me and my work? I'll just tell you, round it off on the freeway. There's probably 9 or 10 freeway off-ramps that I could get off on or get onto on my way to work. I'm lucky in that I have a relatively local commute, right? It's like Bill when he worked, you know, 2 miles from work.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like that anymore, but I am. So, you know, I don't have to go too far, but I do have to take a stretch on the freeway. I get in my car to go to work the other day, and the on-ramp that I'm supposed to get onto at 7:45 in the morning has city cleanup crews working there doing just routine refurbishment on the off-ramp on a weekday during rush hour. Does that not say everything you need to say about freaking LA?
Oh, yeah.
Is that, oh, no, we're just going to do it whenever we freaking feel like it. We don't care if it's rush hour. We're just going to shut down a freeway off-ramp, on-ramp, in the middle of the freaking city, on the busiest freeway in the freaking world.
Yeah.
Jake, if you don't like it, you can leave.
F you, Mike. I got a pension. I got five more years to do it.
Oh, guess, The moment we can, we will.
I am so about that because the last, I'll make this quickly, 15 seconds. The last 2 weeks going to a UCLA basketball game has been freaking unbearable because of all the goddamn, street goddamn construction. I don't know what the hell they're doing on Wilshire. Oh, no. It is because of the subway, but it is a pain in the ass. It is horrible.
Oh, the subway where you get accosted by people? Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. Because I got that story too, remember. Anyways.
No, I get you, Jack. I totally understand. Traffic sucks. The handling of it sucks. Continue.
So, I try to get onto the freeway, and during rush hour, they have my off-ramp closed for stupid routine street maintenance. Just unforgivable, in my opinion. So, anyways, I have to hang a right and hang a left and hang another right, find another way to get onto the freeway, and now I'm cooking because now I'm on my way to work on the freeway. All is right. Of course, there's traffic, but whatever. Another 25 minutes later, I've made it 1.2 miles, and I go to get off of my off-ramp. Freaking road construction! Not road construction. Routine cleanup on the off-ramp that I have to get off on. To go to work, they did it to me again. So the ramp I'm getting on and the ramp I'm supposed to get off, I have to find workarounds to get on because they're doing freaking rush hour cleanup on those ramps. How could I not take that personally?
I think they did. I think they were.
They did on
like,
purpose.
They put out a memo that said "F with Jake" on this particular Wednesday, or whenever it was.
And guess who sent them that memo? This guy.
I'm just telling you, guys.
The government totally sucks, you motherfucker. The government totally sucks.
Fix your traffic, damn it.
That's true.
Bill, this has been fun.
It has been. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. And remember to come on. Keep calling us, even at 1 a.m. in the morning.
It's fun.
Call back, bro.
Call back. All right. And thank you to Mike. Thank you to Jamal. And, hey, remember to listen to the other shows. West Coast Bias coming up really damn soon, so let's rock and roll. And B-Team and anything else. Symposiums.
Listen to Jake on Raina Troy.
Listen to everything. Okay, guys, as always, go Bruins.
Good evening.
Try us tomorrow. Same bat time.
It's gotta be in or out, Mom. In or out. Well, I need the door closed.
Thank you for your cooperation.
Size doesn't necessarily matter if you want it hard enough.
Dude, Rob, we place a ball on the West Coast.
The final word is boob.